When the thief was on the cross next to the Savior, the other thief ridiculed the Savior, and the one thief rebuked the other thief. And I said to him, "Don't you have any fear of God, seeing as you are under the same condemnation?" And then he turned to the Savior, and he said to him in verse 42, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me." And Jesus answered him, "Assuredly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." I think perhaps one of the saddest outcomes that can happen to any human being is to not be remembered. Memory. I think one of the most important things we have is memory. Like, consider, for example, the memory of loved ones. Perhaps someone has died, perhaps someone has moved away, a friend, family member, whatever, and they were someone you loved and cared about, and you remember them. And at first, perhaps the memory is painful because of the sorrow of the separation. But after some time, it becomes a fragrant memory. And you think about that person, and in your heart you smile or laugh at things that have happened that you think about. Or you think to yourself, this person would have done this or said this or thought this right now if they could be here. And this is the fragrance of memories. The thief wanted to be remembered. He knew that he was not going to be remembered on earth. He was a thief. But he wanted to be remembered. He wanted heaven to know. He wanted at least that man next to him, in whom he placed his final hope, to know that he was here. Our lives are like that also. We want to be remembered. Isn't it the saddest thing when you consider that there are people who lived and died and we do not know who they are? And you can go through a cemetery and you see name after name and dates, and perhaps it tells you who they were married to or who their children were, but the names don't mean things. They are simply names, words. They are not remembered, but you think to yourself, here was a life. What was this life about? Were they saved or were they not? Did they make a difference in the kingdom or did they not? And we want to be remembered. That's not a wrong thing. Paul wanted to be remembered. He said, "Remember me," in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 18, "remember me in my chains." It is not wrong for us to desire to be remembered. We want to be a fragrance of memory, and we want to possess the fragrance of memory. Paul knew what was going to happen to him. And he said, "Remember me." What is it that will be remembered about you? In other words, a lot of people make a lot of money, a lot of people work hard, a lot of people achieve many things. But what will actually be remembered about you? What will be the fragrance of memories? If someone dies who you loved, you don't remember the negative things so much. You remember the things that were meaningful and sweet. We are like that with God. In Hebrews, the Word of God says in 10:32 that we remember things. It says, "Remember the former days. Remember the history of things, and let other people remember your history also, but not the history of your past, not the history of your failure. Remember the history of the faithfulness of God in your life. And let that be a sweet fragrance of memories when you go through a time that is difficult to you. When you go to a time that is essentially the choosing, the dividing line between life and death. We all go to this place many times in our lives where we have to choose where the rubber meets the road, and we choose life or we choose death. In those times, remember your history with God. Remember that He was faithful to you. Remember that even though you were afraid or doubted, or it was tormenting to you at the moment, or even possibly painful, He was faithful to you. And though you did not understand the outcome, or what it would be, or how it would get there, and though you did not understand the process, in the end, with hindsight, you saw He was faithful. Why do I want to remember these things? Because in verse 35, this is how I therefore cast not away my confidence. I remember God and the things He has done. And not just in my life, but the life of other believers or the life of the people in the Bible. And I remember God and the things He has done, and I become very confident. If I am lonely, I remember how God comforted. If I am hurt or wounded, I remember that He bottles my tears and that He holds me in His hands. If I fail, I remember that I fall into God's hands and not to the ground. It's a fragrant memory. I fall into the hands that are covered in blood. So the blood is always between me and God. It's a fragrant memory. I remember the things of God, and I have confidence. Do you know why people have no confidence? Do you know why people have no hope? Because they meditate on the situations or things they are in on the horizontal level, but they don't have memory of God. In other words, what is it that you are thinking? And though perhaps many people, and I've been told recently this is a female quality, many people can double task, but you cannot do that in your focus and in your mind. You cannot look both ahead and behind. You cannot look both to the left and to the right. So what do you remember? You cannot at the same time remember both good and bad. And so what do you remember? Remember the things of God. Why? You'll have confidence for the new thing that is coming. Remember the things of God, and you'll remember His faithfulness to you. The fragrance of memory is very important. You see, our lives in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, our lives are either a fragrance of life or a stench of death. And that is not just to others, that is to ourselves also. Our lives are either a fragrance of life or a stench of death. It depends on my memory. What do you remember? Do you remember the difficulty of the trial? Or do you remember the faithfulness of the one who brought the trial? Do you remember that you were hurt? Or do you remember that He heals? What do you remember? Do you remember the loss? Or do you remember that in Him there is only gain? What do you remember? There is a fragrance of memory that the believer lives in. It's either a sweet aroma or it's a stench of death. The decision is mine to remember what I remember. There's nobody else's. Yes, it may take some mental discipline. What doesn't? You go to school or you go to work and you have mental discipline, do you not? You're disciplined to do the requirements of your job, or you are disciplined to do the requirements of your class. Why is it that it is so hard for us then to have to do the requirements of a life with God? Have a little mental discipline to remember the right things. Because either way, your memories have a fragrance to them. What is the fragrance like? The Word of God says in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 19, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit because this is what it means. When the promise is given and you enter into that promise, remember God's faithfulness and don't remember the flesh. Blot out the remembrance of Amalek. God did not want Amalek ever to be remembered among the Israelites. Amalek is the old sin nature, the flesh. Blot out the remembrance of the old sin nature. Don't let it live. Don't think on it. Don't go there. Don't discuss it. Don't live in it. Don't even look at it. Blot it out. Eliminate it. What does it mean when you blot it out? It means you take something, you pick it up, you throw it away. You don't leave it there. You don't leave a stain there. You take it, soaks it up, and it throws it away. It's like spray and wash for the soul. Blot out the remembrance of the old sin nature. No stain. There is no stain. It's all gone. Don't remember it. When I remember, I am careful what I remember. God is careful what He remembers. God says that He will remember His covenant with me in Genesis 9:15. And God will never forget His covenant. So God has a memory. And God lives in that memory. What else does God remember? In Psalm 112 and verse 6, God remembers the righteous. You see, I don't want to be forgotten as a person. But the world will surely forget me. How many beautiful Christians, people who have perhaps given their life for the gospel, or given their life for the love of God, or the love of God's people, how many are actually remembered by the world? There's a few, maybe Moses and Abraham and Martin Luther perhaps. Maybe Peter and John. They're remembered. But what about Frank? And I can't quite recall his last name. Is he remembered for the fact that he laid down his life for the brethren? Is he remembered for the fact that he was preaching the gospel like a faithful man, although he was not very high profile? He is in heaven, but not on earth. How many people devote their lives to the earth that will never remember them? The memory of the righteous will be remembered, will be not be forgotten, it will not go away. They enter into an everlasting remembrance. What do you put your stock in? That which you can't keep, or that which you can't lose? Yet somehow, I don't understand it, I think it is the mystery of iniquity. Christian after Christian puts their stock in what they cannot keep, and trade what they would not have lost. And so Christian after Christian is not remembered. I would rather not worry if the world will remember me, but I would rather be remembered by God. I'd rather have my life written in the book of remembrance, where 16 billion years from now, you can open the book and see it written. And those 16 billion years from now, our memories will be cleansed after the white throne judgment, and we may not even remember these things. But eternity has recorded the things of the God in my life, and eternity will remember these things, even though I may not. You know what will not be remembered 16 billion years from now? This world. Isn't that an irony that so many place their hope in this world, and yet this world will never be remembered? And yet if we place our hope in the kingdom of God, in the Savior, it will never be forgotten. I think that is a tragic irony in the lives of too many believers. Because we go for a memory, regardless of what we do, we go for some memory. For example, why do families go on vacation? Often it is so that they can build a memory with their loved ones. And so when they are older or in the future, they can look back on it and say, this was a good time. Why don't we as believers have the same sense? That we build things that cannot be forgotten. And we don't worry about things that will never be remembered. We are like that. In your lives, build what cannot be forgotten. And don't worry about what cannot be remembered. And I'm not saying be irresponsible. I'm just saying live in reality. How many young people do not understand this in their quest of a future? And they don't understand that if they live with God, their future is already established. And so they step away from God in the quest of what's already there. You know what happens if I step away from what is there to find it? I lose it. Yet, isn't this what Eve did? She wanted to be like God. And then when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they became not like God, but separated from Him. Don't you realize the thing that your heart desires you already have? Young people looking for your future, don't you realize that as so long as you have a life with God, you already have a future? Young people so worried, and our young people are good this way, but out there, young people who are so concerned about who will be my spouse, don't you realize that so long as you do things God's way, you already have one, you just haven't met them necessarily yet? But they are already there and assigned to you, if you will, and you already have this person? You just haven't gotten to that time? Young people who are so concerned about your call, Don't you realize that if you simply trust God and let Him lead you into a call, that call is already there and it's already written, and the souls you will win are already known to God? Did you forget? Or did you remember? Did you remember after the knowledge of Christ? Or did you remember after the knowledge of the old man, of the old fallen man? What is it that you remember? Blot out the memory of Amalek. You know what sometimes people remember is pain. Scientists have found something interesting about pain. Why is pain so frightening to us? They found that pain is different than the other processes or sensations of the body, because it has an emotional component. And so they found that if I remember pain, I am remembering an emotion and not the actual pain, because we cannot recall pain, but we can recall its emotion. How many people remember pain? How many people remember emotion? I'm not saying that we cut off emotion. No, that's stupid. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying is we have God's emotion. We are human and we have five parts to the soul. We are not incomplete human. We have five parts to the soul. But we have a life derived from the Holy Spirit and not from the earth, not from Satan, and not from our flesh. And my emotion is the first indicator of where I am deriving life. If my emotions are not healthy, it's a big red flag. Your life is derived in the wrong source. And your emotion is responding to the place that you are deriving your life from. And so if your emotion insists on responding to your circumstance, you are trying to derive your life from your circumstance. If your emotion is based on whether there is a girl or a guy in your life, then you are trying to derive your life from that girl or that guy. If your emotion is going to be determined by whether or not you make so much money and can buy this kind of car and this kind of house, then you are trying to derive your life from your money, your car, and your house. But I'll tell you something, it will get you nowhere. And you can react against it all you like. You can kick against the pricks all you like. And God said to Paul in Acts chapter 9, it's hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it, Paul? Paul's over there, I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. Now what do? I stop kicking against the pricks. Hello? What do? I submit to God. Hello? I derive my life from the only place that life has a source. Funny how that works. You go to the well, there's water. You go to the dirt, there isn't. How many people try to draw water out of dirt? And how many people say, I'm thirsty, but ignore the well? You want some water, go to the well. Don't go to your dirt, go to the well. Did you forget where life comes from? What are you remembering? The fact that you're thirsty, or where water comes from? They say stuff like, maybe I'm not meant to have water. You can't find water. Maybe I'm not meant to have water. Are you nuts? Of course you're meant to have water. You just refuse to go to the well. You see, you're a little bit stubborn. I'm going to get water out of that dirt, and I don't care if it kills me. Well, it just might. Get water from a well. Get water from a well. Remember where you get water from. Get water from a well. This church, I've said it three times now, this church is under an attack and Satan is targeting emotions. Satan is targeting your emotions. Why? Because you're dangerous and that's where he thinks he can hit you. Satan is targeting the emotions in this church. You know what? Get your water in a well. Did you forget? Did you forget where your water comes from? Or do you remember? I don't want to get my water from the well. I'm used to eating dirt. Okay. But it's going to get a little sticky. A little sandy. A little hard going down. Make you cough a little. Blot out the remembrance of Amalek. How many people don't like when the pastor says things like that? The hard sayings? Isn't that true? They don't like the hard sayings. How many disciples left when the hard saying came? Most of them, all 12 stayed. The others left. And what did the ones that stayed say about the hard saying? These are the words of eternal life. The very thing that separates, hey, get this, the very, and this is spiritual, not physical. The very thing that separates the man from the boy is the hard saying. What do you do with the hard saying? Do you react at it? Do you kick against the pricks? Or do you say, these are the words of eternal life? This is part of where the rubber meets the road, folks. What are you going to do with the hard saying? You going to react or you going to get humble? And don't start looking into yourself and saying, now I'm condemned. That's just more of Amalek. Don't remember Amalek. What are you going to do when the hard saying comes? Run? Stick your head in the sand? Walk away? Knock yourself out. Eternity is not changing for you. Or me either. When the hard saying comes, this is my opportunity. Cutting heals when it's done by a surgeon. When the hard saying comes, this is my opportunity. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:13, he says, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up. I think it's fitting. I think it's right that I should stir you up. And how did it do it? By putting you in remembrance. By making you recall things that are of God contrary to your flesh. You see, part of the fragrance of memory is that element that gives life. But if I run from the fragrance of the memory that gives life, what am I going to have? So I'm going to stir you up, Peter said to his church. I'm going to stir you up a little. And I'm going to give you a hard saying sometimes. And I'm going to challenge you a bit. So that you'll grow. I don't want to be challenged. Okay, you don't have to grow if you don't want. You can stay at 2. Problem is, if you stay at 2 for too long, you're not going to be really healthy. In John chapter 15 and verse 20, the Savior says, remember the word I said to you. Remember it. It might have stirred you up a bit. It might have cut you a bit. It might have edified you. It doesn't really matter what the effect was in that sense. Just remember it. Remember the word that I have given you. Why do I want to remember it? Because it can correct me and it can protect me. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 61, when Peter denied the Savior, think about that. Peter denied the Savior. Where did he start getting light again? When he remembered what Jesus said. And though it was difficult to have that memory, to have that realization, it was a memory of life. Because it got him out of the place where he was failing and got him back to the place where he was going to grow again. Where he would be reconciled again. Where he would receive mercy and kindness and love and gentleness and joy again. And so he remembered, and his memory got him right with God. It was a fragrant memory. We are the same way. How often do we deny the Savior in our lives? I haven't denied the Savior. Of course you haven't, as you have doubted His Word, as you have not believed on His faithfulness, as you didn't believe that He loves you, as you didn't believe that He was true to you, as you didn't believe that He would take care of you, as you didn't draw near to Him. You're telling me you have not denied? Well, I am no different than Peter. But then I remember His Word. And though I made a mistake, I remember His Word, and His Word reconciles me to Him. So we remember, and His Word becomes a healing fragrance of memories. I don't let go of it. I remember it. I remember who I am in the body of Christ. I remember the value of my portion. And though I may not see myself as very much, it is only because I am remembering incorrectly. But when I think about the body of Christ, I think about the heart of God to me. I think about that which I contribute and which is contributed to me. I think about how people love me. And maybe I said something or maybe I did something and it edified. And all of a sudden Christ was edified by my portion. Maybe I think about the fact that my very presence is edifying to the rest of the body because the body is more complete with me there than without me. I think about the fragrance of memories regarding the body of Christ. I don't compare myself among the others. I don't say they are like, or they get this. Don't you realize that when one body member is honored, we are all honored. If one body member is blessed, we are all blessed. If one body member is exalted, we are all exalted. If one body member suffers, we all suffer. Did you forget? But how often do people in the church compare themselves among themselves, which is not a wise thing to do? And then sometimes they will boast against the other, and sometimes they will say the other is better than I. Oh, that is not good. You are remembering the wrong things. The Word of God says not to do that in Romans 11:18. It says, do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root. The root supports you. Remember that you are in Christ and they are in Christ. What are you remembering? Is it the fragrance of memory that brings life unto life? Or is it the fragrance that is a stench that brings death? What are you remembering? Do you remember sin? Do you remember your failure? Do you remember that time you responded in your weakness? Do you remember? Do you live in it? Do you remember the time, if you live in it, when you did not live in it? Do you remember that time when you were right with God and you had joy and growth and happiness in your heart and you were glad to be there? Do you remember when you were right with God? Remember when you were right with God, if you are not. That's what God said in Revelation 2:5 and verse 8. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent. And essentially go back to it. Do the first works. Go back to it. Go back to the place that you have fallen from. Remember it carefully. If you are right with God, if your life is where it should be, remember this time. Because the challenge will come to your faith. The challenge will come to your walk with God. The challenge will come where the enemy will attack you. And the challenge may come when you fail. So remember the time. If this is now, then now. If it was in the past, then in the past. Remember the time that you are right with God. Because it defines for you how to live with Him. And a practical experience for your individual makeup and your life. Remember it. And if you stray from it, repent and go back to it. But remember it. The Word of God says, I continue in 2 Timothy 3:14, I continue in the things that I have learned. And I remember who I have learned them from. I continue in what I have learned, and I remember what I have, who I have learned them from. Why? It is my protection. You see, in Hebrews 13:7, I remember them that have rule over me. I keep them in mind, and I say, this is the person, this is my pastor, this is my teacher, this is the one who God has appointed. Why? Because they speak unto you the Word of God, and we are to follow their faith, and we are to consider the end of their lifestyle. So I remember them. And I don't forget. I like to remember my pastor. I do. I love thinking about Pastor Stevens when he was in the pulpit. I even like thinking about, not as much, but I like thinking about when I got fried. But I love the fact that he was willing to do it. I love the fact that he would not hold back the Word of God. I love the fact that he had a laid down life. I love the fact that he loved me. I love the fact that he watched for my soul and he protected me. And I love the fact that when the messages came, they would counsel me and they would give me wisdom from his Word and they would give me answers for my life. And I did not ridicule him behind his back because I got fried or I didn't like the conviction. I didn't speak against him. I didn't mock him. I loved him. He was my pastor and I lived by the Word that he taught me and it became life to me. I remembered. Remember. Always remember. It is your life. Always remember. Have you forgotten? Then start remembering. Always remember. The pastor remembers his people, like Paul did in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2. And he says, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. We remember these things. We think on these things. We remember these things. Remember the body of Christ. Remember individuals. Remember their faith. Remember how they lay down their life. Remember how they love you. Remember how they care for your soul. Remember them. It edifies you. Remember the person that you ministered somehow to, that you were kind to, that you loved, that you built, the one that you made a difference in their life. They are the fruit of your life. Remember them. Let that edify you. Let that elevate you. And you feel like you are no good. When you feel like you are useless in the kingdom, remember these people. You have made a great difference in their lives. Remember them. Let it change the way that you think. How do I not become weary in the way? I remember. Remember the believers that suffer in Hebrews 13:3. Don't forget them either. They need your prayers. Let their suffering be a fragrance of life to you, to encourage you in faith in the trials. My mother-in-law used to have a great saying. I think that generation was a good, it was the World War II generation. She was 18 years old. All her friends went to war, and most of them died there. You know what she would always say? I'll never forget it. She was in the hospital and she was dying. And you know what she would say? She said, there's always someone who has it worse. She remembered. You know why? Because that kind of puts things into perspective, doesn't it? There's always someone who has it worse. I don't like my dinner. Oh, terrible. Remember, there are those who have no dinner. I like my dinner. I don't like my circumstance. I don't like my job. I don't like my professor. I don't like. There is someone who has it worse. Remember those that suffer. There are things I remember and there are things I forget. In 2 Thessalonians 2:5, I remember the things that were said to me that were of God. I forget the things that were not of God. How do I know no man after the flesh in 2 Corinthians 5:16? How do I achieve that? Through my memory. I remember the things that are of God. You know what I forget? I forget the things that God forgets. And I remember the things that God remembers. I ask yourself in your memory, would God be thinking about this right now? Ask yourself as your day was not so good, would God be thinking about this day right now? Is this what is on His mind? Is this what He is thinking? Is this what He's talking to me regarding? Is He talking to me about the fact that I thought I got an A on the test and I got a C? Is He talking to me about the fact that the professor said something, it was a little bit nasty? Is He talking about the fact that I was at work and maybe my boss was a jerk? Or is He speaking sweet words of eternal life? What is He remembering? Is He talking about the person who failed? Or is He forgetting their failure? Is He talking about sin? Is he dwelling on people? Is He dwelling on your sin? Or has He forgotten your sin? Well, my Bible says in Hebrews 8, in verse 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He remembers that my frame is just dust. He doesn't remember the time that I failed. What is the fragrance of your memories? Is it life or is it death? Whatever the memory is, its fragrance will produce something in you. So what is the fragrance of your memories? Take them to God and remember only those things that He remembers. Because you have the mind of Christ. Amen.